2024, everyone. This is episode 46 of the Triathlon Age Group Journey podcast. My name is Jay Coudet, and I'm here with Matt Sommer and Jillian Carlson, my co-hosts. We are age group triathletes balancing the daily grind and getting the best out of ourselves, both on the race course of triathlon and life. This week, we're going to talk with Jen Roulon. Jen resides in Costa Rica, has done 15 Ironmans, including Kona in 2017, and she has 22 years of experience as a fitness and triathlon coach, and we're really excited to talk to her about her journey in the sport and beyond. But before we do that, Matt, Jillian, it's been a few weeks. Haven't seen you guys since before the holidays and the new year. What's been going on?
Yeah, it's been a while. First off, Happy New Year to you and to all our listeners. Wow, 2024 is up and running for me. Obviously, in the fitness industry, it's been full tilt since last week. Just running around crazy, trying to balance training clients, life, and a lot of my triathlon athletes that I coach are just realizing that that early spring race is a lot closer than they thought it was, and kind of trying to jump back on the bandwagon and just get back to some normalcy in training. Holidays kind of came in and left super fast in my world. Had a great time at Christmas. It was great to have my family around, to have my boys around. My son, Max, I actually just took him back to college on Sunday. So whole nother level of quiet in my house again. I can say that I'm only going to the grocery store every other day instead of every day now, and not quite the same load of laundry and, you know, just things like that. But definitely miss having Max around the house. It's kind of nice to have somebody floating around, but at the same time, there is that little bit of, you know, independence of not having somebody else around as well, which is kind of nice sometimes. But definitely can get back to bed a lot earlier than I had been. I was staying up a little later with him than normal. For me, bedtime, 8 o'clock is not unusual. When he was home, it was a little bit harder to lay down at that time. But training's going well, keeping busy, feeling strong on the bike, believe it or not, feeling really confident in the swim lately, which has been good for me, and getting ready to start my big build for Boston. It's right around the corner for me. April's coming up. It'll be number 9 in a row. So ready to start logging some miles. Super excited about one of my Christmas gifts that Jillian got me. Got a new pair of Hoka Rocket X2s. So hoping to run the course and wear those this year. So that's going to be a new shoe for me, and anxious to put some miles on those and kind of hopefully channel some of that inner speed from those. So
nice. Nice. What about you, Jillian? What's been going on? Is work eased up for you?
No, not until today, hopefully. It's just rolled off of our year-end close, like literally just in time to get on this pod tonight. So it's been a lot of really long days for the last 2 weeks, and I barely know what day today is or what time it is, I'll be honest. I have to think pretty hard. It is Thursday. But yeah, it's just been one of those, you know, when you're working weekends and long days and long nights, it all adds up. But we had a successful close, which is great from a work perspective. For those in accounting, they'll be able to understand that. If you're not, it's a lot of minutiae at the end of the day.
Deadlines.
And yeah, just had some really big projects that most accounting teams would not want to do. And, you know, not one we would have signed up for, but it is what it was, and came out of it the other side. And unfortunately, you know, it's a good thing. I think some people will say new year, new goals, get the year started off strong. And a few days later, all of a sudden they're missing workouts. It's like, oh, the year's ruined. But I had an interesting revelation, though, I will say, in the past from reading sometimes too many what's supposed to be an inspirational quote, that if you're not careful, sometimes the inspirational quotes can backfire. You know, when you're thinking about something like, oh, if I miss a workout, right? Okay, consistency is key. And maybe in this moment, I can't get that. It's not that I can't. I actually was telling Matt this. It's a mind shift. Yeah, I guess I am technically making the choice. I'm choosing to do the work instead of the workout. But it, you know, I have to realize it's for a reason. It's either to not let my team down at work, which I care about my team. I care about both. And sometimes there is a balance and a give and a take when you do have the deadlines. But ultimately, it is a choice I'm making. And I think in the past, I'd think of it as, oh, I can't, my job's keeping me from this and it's my job's fault, I'm missing a workout. But, you know, really at the end of the day, you know, it's my choice and I just need to own that. And I also need to recognize that it's okay. In the past, I know that, you know, if I needed to take a day off, I would be so consistent all the time. And so taking a day off, it really wouldn't mean anything in the big scheme of things. And it was super easy for me to be like, okay, I know that's only one day. But when you're week after week and you're having multiple days in a row, it's super easy to convince yourself, oh, I'm not being consistent. I'm not doing this training. So I'm probably setting myself up for a terrible 24. And I almost started to believe I don't deserve to have a good 2024 because I haven't been consistent. And so you can't complain about the results you don't get if you're not doing the work you need to do. That's a quote, right? Which I know Matt loves, and it has truth in it, but be careful that you don't get too fixated in your mind that you start to believe the opposite is true. If I'm not consistent, it means I won't do well and I don't deserve to do well. Anyhow, I'm just rambling now, but it was something that I personally had just been working through as I balance the kids and their schedules and my work schedule and the training. And I love the training. Like if I could make it work to where that's the first thing I did every day, but it compromises the fact I'm working with teams overseas that start really early in the morning. So I'd have to be up at 3 a.m., which means I wouldn't sleep, which means I'd get sick. And in the past, I've actually done that where I've sacrificed the sleep to get that workout in and do everything. And I would get sick. And I was telling Matt, knock on wood, there were some days where I made that choice of the stress at work and home life is so high right now today. Could I force a workout? Maybe, but at what risk? And knock on wood, I'm coming to the end of this super busy period. And there were some days I had to say, I'm not going to do my workout today because I can tell the stress is extra high and I don't want my body to get sick after this. And we'll see on the weekend if I get sick or not. But every year, this time of year, I usually get sick coming out of the busy season because I try to do it all. So I'm hoping this kind of pays off a little bit, but I'm also reminding myself whatever is happening over these last couple of weeks and the ability to get in what I can, or if there's things that I have to make that choice and not do, to not let it let me believe that's an indication of the months to come. So really long story, but that's been my last couple of weeks.
Well, Julie, I mean, it's a great story you share, because I think what'll be most interesting is to watch that you didn't dig yourself into a hole now.
Yeah.
Through trying to train through all of that, and then trying how quickly, when you can get back to a normal routine, you'll gain the fitness probably quicker.
Right.
Because you hadn't dug yourself in a hole.
Right. Hopefully. And if I don't, it's okay. If I don't, it's okay. I think I have to remind myself that too, because sometimes people will say, oh, if you do this, then that. And if that doesn't happen, you're like, what am I doing wrong? And I can, yeah. But
definitely.
We'll see.
Definitely. Wow.
How about you, Jay? Probably, hopefully, you're better than me.
Depends. There's some perspective. I can identify with the stress of not working out. I did take December and really try to make it as light as possible. And I found, boy, my body did not like not moving, to be honest. I felt sore and just tight, and it didn't feel good to not do my normal routine. It was really rejecting it, but I stuck with it. And we had an awesome, you know, break for the holidays. We went up to New York City for a couple of days with the kids and showed them the big city. You got to the 9/11 memorial, which was just long overdue for Tammy and I to really pay homage to that, and but also expose the kids to the story that they hear in school, and then to see the scale of that. Took my daughter to see the Rockettes. So being a dancer, she was very excited. We did the backstage tour. She met a Rockette and, cool, you know, really, you know, loved that experience. We went to the Statue of Liberty and did the haunts, what you need to do when you go to New York City. Spent great time with the family, and then headed up into Pennsylvania to visit my wife's family for several days. And I've lost track. I think I'm going to say 12 nieces and nephews now. It is at mad chaos, but they have so much fun together. They're from ages 16 now to 3. Jake is 3. So it's quite this span. And we had a great New Year's. Our New Year's this year was dictated by our kids' schedule and which parties they were going to. So that that was fun doing the driving. But we did, you know, partied with some neighbors and some friends. So, and getting back into training. And it's funny, you know, within a week of finally moving again, the aches and pains that I had since the big run in November are gone. That's what's really funny. I felt like I couldn't recover, but man, I went out for a run and I finished the run. It's like, it's gone.
Yeah.
So it's just funny how exercise is a lubricant sometimes to get the body moving again. So excited to get back into it. And this is my first full week of, you know, scheduled structured training. So,
good.
I did end up having a midlife, you know, rite of passage on Monday that prevented me from training at, you know, use your imagination of what you do at 45 and 50 years old, but everything was clear. Life is good. So no got that intended out of the way for the next 5 years. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, TMI. So what a great segue, Matt. You got a quote to pile on top of that.
Yeah. Pile. Funny. So, you know, so I'm not going to throw a New Year's resolution one at you. I think I really was thinking about that. And I think there are all these great quotes out there every year about New Year's resolutions. And I'm not really a big believer in New Year's resolutions whatsoever. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you don't need a new year to start fresh. You just need a Monday. You need a Tuesday. You need any day you want. The quote I came up with this year is just for kind of the theme of the year. And it kind of keep this in the back of my mind throughout the year. And this is something that I'm going to try to remind myself of daily. But here it is. To succeed in life, you need three things: a wishbone, a backbone, and a funny bone. If you think about it, you got to have dreams, you got to have integrity, and you got to be able to laugh. Those three things are so important. You got to dream big, but you got to stick to your values. You've got to have integrity. You got to maintain your character to achieve those dreams, but you can't be afraid to laugh at yourself and laugh along the way en route to those dreams. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue with it.
Yeah. Another spin in my head is hope, faith, and fun. You know, yeah. I think wishing is always something good to do. It's forward thinking, gives you purpose and reason. And yeah, I like it. We're going to steal it and put it on the whiteboard down in the pain cave for sure.
There you go.
So Jen, what do you think? Any thoughts on that one?
Yes. I was thinking about this, like wishbone, dreams, backbone, boundaries, funny bone, nice. Laugh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's great, actually, the backbone on the boundaries part. That's, yeah. I happened to just listen to a podcast the other day that talked about it's not work-life balance or, you know, balancing sport and whatever. It's not about balance. It's actually about setting boundaries. And I thought that mm-hmm. was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. I love that. That's fabulous.
It was probably Mel Robbins. I have no idea, but I make sure I give credit where credit's due. I'm sure it was her talking about boundaries, not balance, but anyhow.
Yeah. I guess, Jen, we want to keep rolling with you. You've got quite a resume from triathlon and you've taken that into a future journey of, boy, the quote kind of aligns fairly well with where you've headed in life. So I'm right. Pretty excited to unpack all of that with you. Why don't we start with triathlon? Why in the world did you ever want to do an Ironman and then do it 15 more times?
Right. I mean, geez Louise. It was, honestly, I was 17 years old and I was watching the ABC Wild World of Sports. Mm-hmm. 1989. We all remember the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, right? And it was, I was watching Kona. I was watching the Iron War. Mm-hmm. I was watching Mark Allen and Dave Scott. And I was watching that showdown and I was just sitting there just totally dumbfounded how fast these guys were clocking neck and neck, you know. And then all of a sudden, an hour later, Paula Newby Fraser comes in. I'm like, who's she? Like, what did she just do? She was, you know. And so what I realized about this Ironman is that it was all on the equal playing field, right? It was the same distance. Everybody swam, bike, and ran. Granted, the elements may be different if you were earlier, later type of thing. But back in those days, it was the elements all at the same time, right? And I, for me, I never considered myself as an athlete. I never did track. I hated running, hated it. I think I was that last, I was like that second to the last girl on the mile run for the presidential fitness test, right? Uh-huh. And I hated running.
How did you do on the sit and reach? That terrible. Oh, I hated terrible. That one.
Terrible. And what I realized through this journey is that I was really trying to crave my dad's attention, because my brother and my dad had that intangible relationship through basketball, baseball, football, hockey. But the daughter, 2 years younger than the star of the football team, the homecoming king, and I give him crap all the time about it, that like I didn't have that connection with my dad because he didn't understand me playing softball. He didn't understand me being a cheerleader. It wasn't a sport he associated with, right? And so I actually did a TEDx talk on that and my whole hashtag daddy issues, right? If you want to call it that way, right? But what I've realized too is I think prior to that, after I saw that world championship, after I saw that happen, I went to Michigan. I was living in Wisconsin with a family, and I went to Michigan and I went and saw my grandpa. And my grandpa is he's the pinnacle of a man, you know, world Purple Heart, World War II vet, solid, solid human being. And so I definitely looked up to him more probably than my dad. I admit that. And I said to my grandpa, I said, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to do the Ironman triathlon in Hawaii. And he goes, okay. He goes, when you go, I'll go with you.
Oh, wow. And,
y'all, that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah.
You know, awesome. He was definitely awesome. My why.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Which event was your first, I guess, full Ironman? Or did you do any shorter distance to build up to it? Or did you go all in?
Yeah. No, gosh, no. Okay. I did. So at the time I was living in Wisconsin. So I did, you know, the Danskin triathlon. I did a triathlon in Baraboo, Wisconsin. I did a couple sprints. And then what I did is I did Mrs. T's Olympic distance triathlon in 2000. And then that's when I started getting competitive, but then I started thinking, oh shoot, I'm about to turn 30. Like, I got to get this Ironman thing under my belt, right? And I did Ironman Wisconsin 2002, 6 weeks prior to my 31st birthday.
Okay.
Wow.
Nice.
So granted, I didn't do Kona, but I didn't know how hard it was to get there.
Yeah,
you know?
To get there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, especially at that age, at that time, I think I clocked a 12:58, something like that. I went under 13 for my first Ironman. Not bad, right?
Yeah.
But then, the girl that won was like, I think she became a pro that next year, something like that. You know, so she was at 10 hours, you know, and I thought, how? Yeah. So, yeah.
So you got through 15. So if I'm not mistaken, 15 would have been a legacy, but you got to Kona on your own, it sounds like.
I did.
Yeah, so walk us through that journey, how you got to be that 10-hour Ironman, or how did that work out?
Yeah, so I did 4 Ironmans. I did Wisconsin, Brazil, Florida, and Western Australia.
Oh, wow.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
You traveled for them.
Yeah. I did. At that time, it was my ex-husband and I, we were doing racecations, you know, and I mean, our honeymoon was Western Australia. So, I mean, it was perfect, right?
Yeah.
But what I realized that in Ironman Brazil, I had the roll down. It was that roll down, roll down, roll down, roll down. And the woman that placed 8th in my age group got the spot. And I was 82 seconds off of her spot.
That stinks.
Okay. Which is crazy because I don't think I would have the story that I have today. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I did 4 Ironmans, but I did take an 8-year sabbatical. So I technically wouldn't have been considered legacy.
Because they have to be consecutive. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So at that time, you know, that 8-year sabbatical, I, you know, we tried to have kids. I focused on work. I lost my dad in an early age. Mm-hmm. So it just got to, I didn't want to sit on a bike and mm-hmm. think because, mm-hmm. and I had miscarriages, like you know, like it was just so much. It was way okay. too much.
Yeah.
So, my husband at the time, qualified at Ironman Florida, and it was, 2000 and oh my God, when was the Boston bombing?
It was 2013. I did have to look that up. So,
okay. So yeah, so that makes sense. So then 2012 is when we went, because it was just like, it was free. Everybody was free. Like you didn't need a pass and you didn't need all of that stuff. Anyways, long story short, the gun literally goes off and all of a sudden like, aha, that's right. I'm supposed to still do Ironman Kona. Right. I'm not there as a participant or as a spectator. No, I have to participate. And it was almost like it was that gun going off and it was like the ocean and everybody taking off. And I was like, I promised grandpa something.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So then let's move ahead. So then I kept doing two Ironmans a year. And, you know, got injured, rolled my ankle on the trail run on the off season, you know, like life, right?
Yeah.
And I 2015, I did Ironman Mont Tremblant and had a decent race, just had some stomach issues. And I was like, dang, I really like this event. Like it brought me joy. I love Ironman Florida as well. And, but then I knew it was super fast. People go to Kona and then they go right to Florida to qualify again, right? Yeah. So I decided to pick Ironman Mont Tremblant in 2017. And I thought, you know what? I have a really good chance. And I don't know what it was, but everything just flowed beautifully. And I remember sitting at the lake and my ex said to me, he goes, you do realize this, you're going to qualify anyways. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, because this is number 12.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even though I had that gap, that mental thought process was like, yeah, I am going to qualify. Mm. It was that mindset that I held on with me that whole race. Because I'm like, I'm going to qualify regardless, even though like that gap, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember, and the great thing was, is at that time my husband was racing and then my sister-in-law was there and my niece and nephew. And so when I was coming around, I don't know if you've done Mont Tremblant before.
I've not. Mm-hmm.
Oh. It's on my list for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But the full is
They're not doing it, are they?
They ended it. Anymore.
They're just doing the 70.3. Yeah.
The 70.3, which is still beautiful, but. Yeah. You do two laps. And I remember coming in and I saw my family, my sister-in-law and my niece and nephew. I gave them a big hug and they're like, what are you doing? Just keep going. I'm like, no, y'all are my power, man. Like you're all my power. And so, when I was going out for lap two, I started thinking, my girlfriend and I talked about this. She goes, Jen, just have everybody as a Pac-Man, your Miss Pac-Man. You're going out and you're grabbing power. You know, and then she's like, when you pass somebody in your age group, because at that time we had the numbers on our calves. Yeah. Yep. And she's like, once you pass somebody in that age group, in your age group, that's your extra power, you know? And so at the last, I would say maybe 3K, I literally was going, gulp, gulp, like it was just, you know, anyways. I crossed the finish line. I went under 11. I did a 10:59. Like, I went under 11 hours.
Yeah. Hilly course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
well done.
Thank you. And I just, my niece goes to me, she goes, did you qualify for Kona, baby? Or she goes, did you qualify for Kona? And I said, I don't know, baby, but I just had the best race in my life. I didn't care. I didn't care at that point, right?
Right.
Yeah. I just was like, check.
Right.
And then when I come back around, they were like, do you want some poutine? I'm like, no, I don't want any poutine. Thank you very much. But it's the Canadian thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And my sister-in-law goes to me, she goes, do you want to know your time? I was like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like I said, I think it was like a 10:59 something or other. And then I said, what was my age? What was my placing? She goes, you were third. You are third in your age group. I'm like, what?
Wow. Yeah.
And then I said, awesome. Who was first? And she told me the woman who was in first. I knew that woman got a slot at Ironman Texas. I knew there were two. I knew there were two spots already done. So awesome. I'm like, I'm going to Kona. And
yeah.
even my coach called Brandon Marsh. He's in Austin. Brandon's like, did you qualify? And I'm like, I don't want to jinx it. So I'm not going to say. He's like, all right. And
right.
so I told him like the story and he's like, okay. And yeah, the next day, my husband at the time went and my ex and I went and we both qualified.
That's oh, awesome. Wow.
Nice.
That's a quick turnaround because, I mean, that's an August race and you got to turn right around and go, yeah, in October. So
it was a quick turnaround. And
yeah.
at mile 15 at Kona, I'm like trotting along. I'm like, yeah, I'm crushing it, man. Yeah, I'm crushing it. All of a sudden, bam, there's that wall.
That was a hot year. I was actually there in 17 spectating. And that was a crazy. I was there in 17
That's
spectating.
Crazy.
That was the year Jan had all his back issues and was laying on the course.
Yeah.
Because I remember going out there running and just kind of the pro men were coming in off the bike. And I was like, I'm going to go for a run. So I ran down Alihi Drive to like where the turnaround is on Alihi. And I just remember me doing like, oh, this is a fun zone too. And them just flying by me. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
Right.
And then that was the year I remember seeing Jan laying on the ground, stretching his back and having all his back issues.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And
it was hot.
You know, and it was cool. It was hot. It was hot. And it was, and like my nutrition was warm in the special needs bags. And then I was behind, you know, like y'all know how that is. But I remember coming out of T2 and jumping on, I can't remember the road. And my ex was coming and going up the big road. And he's like, oh my God, hi. And I go, I'm doing so shitty, but I don't care. You know, like I didn't care. Like, I was so happy to be there. Like I, you know, and I think I had some expectations, but then when I was out there, like I didn't care. Like I was just, I made the check mark.
Yeah.
And, you know? Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, Jen, that was the last year of mass starts at Kona too.
Yes, it was.
Oh, wow.
I remember sitting there at a restaurant, we were eating breakfast, me and my buddy, and we remember seeing the cannon go off. And I mean, it was the most remarkable thing, just seeing just the flood of people go. I mean, it was the men first, and then obviously the men cleared out, and then the ladies went off. Yeah. And it's just like nothing you've ever seen. It was crazy. Yeah.
Jen, what did you think of it, experiencing it? Like the mass start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the mass start? You know, y'all, I was sitting there like doodling around, like looking around and just be like, oh my God, I'm in Kona. Like, this is amazing. And then the gun goes off. But I've done mass starts. I mean, for, you know, 2002 was Ironman Wisconsin. That was a mass start.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely the period you're talking about racing, it pretty much everything was but, at that
yeah,
point.
Everything
still.
Was yeah. at that point. You're right. You're right. And I tell this story, on my podcast, the Everyday Healthy Human plug, but I think it was episode 2 or 3 about like, what is my why? And I still remember my grandpa, and I still remember going down. Is it where
like
the hill right before Palani? Thank you. Right before you turn Alihi mm-hmm. Drive, you know, at the finish, as I'm going down Palani, I saw my mom and her best friend, and that's her dad. And we hit eyes and we just started welling up.
Oh yeah.
Because grandpa passed away in 2001. Oh. So he never saw me do mm-hmm. Ironmans at all.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was almost at that point, like I didn't want that moment to end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I still get emotional thinking about it, but when I hit that red carpet, they, like the Iron Man photo people, got some ugly crying photos of me. And like they, I mean, full on, but it was just that. And yeah, I literally emotion. Crossed the finish line, all emotion. And I'm like, oh my God. And I look up at Grandpa and I'm like, we did it. Yeah, we did it.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
What a dream. I mean, I get goosebumps because so many of us in triathlon have that dream, you know, and yeah. It's awesome when it happens, and not everybody can get to it.
True.
And not everybody's in full Ironman. We definitely promote the local sprint and Olympics and what that means to building yourself a healthy and enjoyable yeah. lifestyle of racing and triathlon. But certainly Ironman is a big thing for most.
Yeah.
So when you finished Kona, did you continue to race, or where did life take you from there?
Yeah, I did. I did Kona, like just felt like $1 million. And then going into 2018, I was like, all right, I'm going to try to qualify again. I'm going to do this, you know, like, and then I decided to like really jack my back up January. So even on the course, I was dealing with a little bit of lower back issue. And, you know, I went to the doctor and they're like, oh, you have 3 bulging discs. I'm like, oh great. Geez. You know? Yeah. And so, we moved, I think I was going to do Ironman Texas, ended up moving that to Ironman Florida so I could recover and heal. And mm-hmm. then at that year, Ironman Florida was moved to Haines City because of the hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And I did Haines City and had a terrible race. My weight was way too low. I dropped so much weight. I wasn't at my race weight is about 129. I'm 5'8". I was probably down 123, 124. And then as I was leaving transition, T1, my front tire popped.
Oh.
So I almost literally walked back. And like, I'm done. But I was like, no, you just suck it up. And so I did finish it, but it was mentally challenging. And so I just thought to myself, okay, am I done? Am I done? You know, I'm not going back to Kona, all that stuff. And then I sort of snapped out of it and, you know, changed nutritionist and I did Ironman Florida again in 2019. And about 6 weeks prior to Ironman Florida, I was invited to go to the Training Peaks Endurance Coaching Summit. And I did a couple of talks there. And I remember hearing Stacy Sims say, if you are perimenopausal or menopausal, stop doing long, slow distance and start lifting heavy weights. And I heard that and I thought, huh. So I go back to San Antonio. And I thought, you know what, this may be my last Ironman. Cause I was perimenopausal during Kona. And I thought it was training. Like I thought it was like, oh, I'm just training. And that's why I'm getting these hot right. flashes. And long story short, I mean, TMI, right. But
that's long story real.
Short, yeah. It's real. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. 6 weeks prior to Florida, I stopped drinking. And I thought, if this is my last race, just you're going to go all in. And so I was adamant, nutrition, everything, stop drinking, everything. Y'all, I had the best race that I've ever did.
Awesome.
And I tell the story. It was I was out on Surf Drive, and it was the old Ironman Florida course, if you've done that one. And you're going down and you take a right and it's Surf Drive. It was about a mile and a half. I look out to the ocean and I was like, all right, universe. I have two things for you. I said, I need two things from you. Either one, I cross the finish line, have the best race of my life, or I'm done. Or number two, I cross the finish line. I'm placing first or second in my age group and I'm going back to Kona. So I did the race, had a phenomenal run. I mean, that running's my jam, even though I hated it.
You said you hated it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's crazy how that works.
Yeah.
And I crossed the finish line. I knew I had the best. I did a 10:46:47.
Wow.
And at Florida, I remember crossing the finish line and just my hand, like I dropped. I saw Mike Riley, blew him a kiss. Like it was like epic. And I knew I had the best race of my life. And I go around the corner. I saw my mom, my mother-in-law, my ex-husband. And I said, how did I do? And they go, you did a 10:46:47. I was like, what? And mentally I prepared a 10:46:23.
Wow.
Like wow. I had it to a T. So yeah. Talk about mindset, right?
Yeah.
And, I placed seventh in my age group.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Done. Mic drop.
Done. Right. Exactly. That's exactly what it was. It was the mic drop. Yeah. I just knew. And so even the next day, he was like, do you want to go to the awards ceremony? I go, no. He's like, what? I go, I'm done. He's like, what? I'm like, I'm done.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
but good. In a good way. Yeah.
In a good way. And everything was answered. I didn't want to be that woman, you know, that had, you know, multiple back injuries or, you know, plantar fasciitis or, you know, I did. And then I'll be like, I'm doing another Ironman. Like it just, that wasn't me. Like that chapter was put on, or that book has been put on the shelf.
And yeah. Sort of a blessing in disguise, because if you think about the timing, had you qualified, Kona was canceled in 2020. That would have pushed all of this 2 years later. It would have left you with that decision of, do I do St. George or do I do Kona? Because I mean, then people ran into that whole dilemma, and it just would have pushed this whole crazy lifestyle 2 more years of dealing with the back, dealing with other things. So it's kind of interesting how that all worked out for you, you know?
Always does. We just have to listen.
Yeah.
I felt like I just did a word vomit on y'all.
No. That's kind of the nature of what we've done with this podcast is we just love to hear the whole stories because it's really inspires us, and what we're finding out, it's inspiring others. So through all this, you've always been part of the exercise science world or have a career in fitness and so on. How have you interlaced your experience with triathlon and working with other triathletes? And it just seems like you've pivoted, to use an overused term, out of triathlon.
Yeah. So I went online before online was cool. I started coaching triathletes in 2013, and I started JenRulon.com. I thought, well, Kim Kardashian can do it. Why can't Jen Rulon, right?
Yeah.
I thought, and at one point, and I had a really good amount of team. Like I had almost 20 athletes on my own, and we had Rulon Racing, and it was beautiful. It was amazing. 2020 hit, man, that changed it changed for a lot of us, right? I lost a lot of athletes. And at that point, I didn't really know what was happening, for my own business. Like I got my master's degree in kinesiology at University of San Antonio, University of Texas in San Antonio. And so I was there, did that in 2000. And when did I graduate? 2010. Yeah, no, 2012. That's what it was. Because when we went to Kona, I was applying for all these jobs. I kept getting turned down. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, I'm going to sign up for Ironman Florida. That's what it was in 2013. And then I'm going to start my own business. And so that's what I ended up doing, and kept it going. I mean, it's still going, right? I definitely don't coach as many triathletes now. I have a handful. I have more runners than anything, but I also I work with a lot of women now that we're focusing on strength training, nutrition, habits, just women that have gone through the change. And or women that are going through a change, where whether it could be kids are out of the house, or the empty nest syndrome, right? Or maybe they lost a parent, lost a partner, that type of thing. So, yeah. So the fitness world has, I mean, I've been in the fitness world for quite some time, and now it's nice branching out of the triathlon space.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the biggest challenge for overcoming a life change like menopause or empty nest syndrome? Are there similarities in the approach to how you would navigate that? Is everybody different? What have you learned through your experiences through that? We have a lot of listeners probably in that time frame of life for sure.
Sure. I mean, even going through the divorce, even going through, you know, we didn't have kids, but going through the divorce and going through the change, I went to bed every night with gratitude. I woke up every morning with gratitude, and I couldn't understand what was going on and why it was going on, but I had to trust the big picture. I had to trust that things were going to happen how they were supposed to happen. Just how I got to Kona, just how I asked a question to God, universe, whatever your beliefs are, just like I asked those questions, I got the answer and I listened in, right?
Right.
And so I had to trust that this is normal, that my body's going through a change. I had to trust and give gratitude that, hey, I could still swim, bike, and run 140.6 miles, which is great. I could still strength train. And then even going through the divorce, I remember, you know, saying, thank you, God, for allowing this to happen, because that's all I know what to do. I didn't know what else to ask for, because I didn't understand.
You know, it's interesting you say the word gratitude, because that is a theme that we've underlying theme of this entire podcast that we've always said is, you know, gratitude in life. And I mean, I think in your instance, it's like, you know, celebrating endings because they precede new beginnings, you know, and it's one of those things you got to think about. It's like you probably got a ton of great things out of that old relationship, but at the same time, it was preparing you for new opportunities. Just say yes, get out there and do things. And, you know, gratitude, you can be bitter or you can be better. Don't choose bitterness. Let's embrace this. And it may not be the path you thought you were going to go down or had planned to go down or had expected to go down, but it's reality. Your mindset is definitely going to carve the path and make it smoother or rockier. So, I mean, that gratitude word is a strong word and it's got to keep it close to heart. So good.
For sure.
People are going to think we planted you on this podcast talking about gratitude yet again.
Right. So Jen, what took you though? Now you're out in Costa Rica. So I want to know how'd you get from Minnesota, Wisconsin out to Costa Rica?
2019, after Ironman Florida, I said to my ex, I need to go to a beach somewhere. I need to go with like one of my girlfriends and just sit. I don't want to think about triathlons. I don't want to talk about triathlons. I just want to sit with my bestie from college and we just laugh and whatever, you know? And I was like, I'm going to Costa Rica. And so we were going to come down in 2019. Well, I ended up coming down by myself because at that time she just started a new job. So she couldn't pull it off. And so, you know, my ex wasn't really happy about it, but you know, it is what it is, you know? And so I came down here and I'm at the town that I actually came to the first time. And I thought to myself, what is this place? Like there's an ocean, there's animals, like, you know, turtles, like the people, the culture, the food, like everything. I really fell in love with it. And then as the years went on, you know, 2020 happened, and then 2021 happened is when we separated. I was like, I'm going to go down to Costa Rica during this trial separation. And I went down there and I was down here for 7 weeks. And I thought to myself, I could live down here. I could easily live down here, but how? I mean, I'm still married, right? Like, how is that going to happen? Maybe we're working it out and we're going to talk things through and maybe I can get, you know, a condo down here, you know, like all these things. And then long story short, in July of 2021 is when I did ask for a divorce, because then I came down here again. I was asked to do a yoga retreat paid for, and I just had to hop on the flight. And it made me realize that I was ready to move ahead. And so I asked for the divorce. And during this whole time, I thought, well, San Antonio no longer serves me. I want water. And I'll tell y'all this, is that my whole life, I was a water baby. Like, I just loved the water. I loved being around it. Even my first career was water-based. And then triathlons, and all of a sudden, done. Like, I had no water around me. I'm landlocked in San Antonio. And I thought, could I live in California? I'm like, oh my God, it's expensive as all get out. Could I go to Hawaii? That's even more expensive, you know? And I'm like, I don't want to go to Florida, you know, all these things, right? And I thought, what about Costa Rica? And I thought, if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it?
Yeah.
And everything that I told you all about, I asked the big man, I asked the universe, and I just said, you know, like, I don't know where I'm living. I don't know what's happening, but I trust you that you're going to provide. And like a week later, I get a message from a friend that I met at yoga when I was down here. It was like, hey, she's like, hey, I have an Airbnb, one bedroom, one bath, 5 minutes from the beach, for rent for the next, from January to March or April. Are you interested? I'm like, yep. Like, I didn't even, you know what Mel Robbins says, you know, like that 5 second rule, right? Yes. I didn't even question it. I said, yep. You know, like everything just started flowing. And that's something that I've recognized in my life. When I don't question things and I don't start second guessing things,
because I'm listening to
society, and I'm listening to my family who thinks I'm batshit crazy because I'm moving to Costa Rica. Like, I'm running away from my problems, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm like, that's y'all's story. You know, I know my story. I don't have to sit there and justify it, because I have boundaries, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
That's awesome.
So do you want people to stay away from Costa Rica? Do you want to plug how great it is as a country?
Oh,
I've been there. We loved it. Our journey. And we always talk about wanting to get the kids back. So,
right. As I'm sitting here, like, sweating at 7 o'clock at night, right. I'm just like drenched, but, I mean, it's a beautiful country. It's amazing. There's so many different, I always forget the word, but so many, like, there's volcanoes, there's the ocean, there's the rainforest, there's the jungle. Like, it's
basically almost all the climates in one country.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Different topography and everything.
And And I've explored a lot with this country. And yeah, if you come down. But I highly recommend, don't come down during Christmas, New Year's, or Semana Santa, also known as Holy Week. So it's a zoo. It's a mess.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But it's an incredible country. And I love the people. I love the culture. I love the food. I mean, everything's, you know, I'm literally like a 2 minute walk getting fresh fish, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the dumb question here, maybe I'm ignorant, but did you have to learn another language to survive, or is English get you by just fine?
Yeah. English will get me by for sure. But I really have embraced the Spanish language. And so I learned Spanish years ago, like in high school, but you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. Right. And so I think I'm on day 265 on Duolingo, you know, but I'm really good at writing Spanish. I understand it really well, but the speaking, poco y poco. So by bit, you know, yeah. But if you came down to Costa Rica and you go to a major town, people are going to speak English. Yeah.
Now, I know you're retired from triathlon, but just out of curiosity, Is there a strong triathlon lifestyle in Costa Rica? Are there opportunities similar to that in the States where there are races all over the place? If you were hypothetically to ever get that itch again to toe the line.
Right.
It's a lot of cycling.
Cycling.
Not so
some
much.
Of these roads though, y'all.
They're mountain bikes.
Yes, they're mountain bikes. A lot of cycling, like in San Jose.
Okay.
Like where, you know, where the mm-hmm. city is, the capital, major cities. I wouldn't, the road from my place to like Liberia Airport is like 2 hours. I see people cycle on that road all the time. They're up riding like at 4 o'clock in the morning with their lights because they want to get off the roads because it's hot and busy.
Right. Okay.
Right. But there is a vast triathlon community, but they're very spread out. There's something called Tico Man on the Caribbean side. And I think that's like in November. And then first year I was here, it was March. And I see this guy sitting at the restaurant. And this was after like my first ocean swim, because, you know, I'm like, I could at least swim, right? And so I went up to the restaurant. I see this guy sitting there, and he had what's the run store, Big Island, from
Big
the
Island.
Big Island
yeah.
running mm-hmm. store.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And I go up to him. I go, oh, you know, I'm like, oh, have you been to the Big Island, you know, Kona? And he's like, no. My girl or my friend bought me this, and you know, she went and did Kona. I was like, oh, cool. And I have a hat called Just Do Kona.
Right.
And he goes, oh, did you, you know, have you done Kona? I said, oh yeah, I did do Kona. He's like, oh, hi, my name's Sergio. I'm the race director of triathlons here in Costa Rica. And I'm like, <Uh-oh>. Like another mic drop moment, you know, you just sit there, retire. Right. But, you know, and he's, you know, we've touched base. And but they have a lot of races like in Cocoa Beach, which is about 2 hours north of me. And they do a lot of trail races, trail triathlons too.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, and I think y'all, Xterra is coming this year. Xterra
okay.
triathlon is coming to Costa Rica.
There we go. That could be fun. Oh, I have a busy year so far in 24 or 25. Maybe I need to add this to the bucket list.
Right. I think 24.
Okay.
Yeah.
Might have to look that one up.
We might just have to go scout out Costa Rica.
Yeah. Well, I clipped out of Outside Magazine last month, the El Camino de Costa Rica trail, 174-mile trail stretching from the Caribbean to the Pacific crosses the country. I don't know. That
sounds cool.
Sounds like something on my list. Maybe my son and I will backpack it, or, you know, we'll figure something out, but that sounds really cool.
They have a lot of coastal runs too.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. And they'll swim at the Arenal Lake, you know, the volcano. There's a lot of swimming events as well.
Yeah.
But you're right though, Jillian, it's a lot of trail.
Yeah.
Versus road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember we went to Monteverde and stayed in the cloud forest and all that. And,
yep.
and we did rent a car and drove around the country for our honeymoon. And leaving Monteverde, we were inundated by mountain bikes. There was just the timing, I guess, when we left, they had a mountain bike race in the city. And all of these bikes just swarmed our car. We just ended up stopping for 5-6 minutes to let the road clear. But I mean, that's why I was thinking, boy, cycling was big in that country.
Yeah. 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 And I've seen a lot of, I've seen cyclists, like when I was going to Arenal, I went to go visit a couple times, and I remember seeing vans with bikes, and then I'd see cyclists, but man, that climb going zigzagging, I mean, coming back would be fun, but going up, like
going up is quite a climb. Yeah.
It's a good climb. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Mm. Yeah. So yes, come to Costa Rica.
Okay.
Yeah.
Done.
Done. Yeah, right. Yeah. But I think, you know, sort of missing that water element too. About 3 months ago, I started surfing. Oh my God, y'all. Like, I'm in love. Like, I'm like, I don't need a I don't need a man. I got a board. Like, oh, I got the ocean. Like, oh my, it's incredible. And I think y'all will understand, like, you know, when you go out and swim in the ocean or in a lake, you don't have your phone, you don't have your computer. Yeah. It's just you and your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're disconnected because I'm constantly working. I mean, I'm online, but I go out and, oh, and when you catch waves, whoo, like I'm starting catching green waves and those are like a little bit more advanced. And, but it's funny, like you talked about, you know, with the quote, Matt, from the beginning, like I have to laugh at myself when I surf because I will get pummeled. Like, I mean, if somebody's watching me from a shore, like my board goes up and I'm like tumbling like a dead fish. You know? But I get up and I just start giggling because you have to, like, you cannot, I'd be like, I'm a triathlete, I should be good at this. No, it's a totally different sport. And
humility.
Yeah. So 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I guess we probably need to get to wrapping this up, but Jen, so you mentioned jenroulon.com. Is that website still a way people can find you? You mentioned your podcast, yep. Everyday Healthy Human.
That's correct.
So we'll link to that. Anything else, you know, that you want people to know? You have a book, I understand.
I do. The book was ironic because I wrote it in 2020, going through one of the hardest times of my life. So it's called Self-Motivation Strategies for Women. And I probably wrote it more for me than I did for, it was a very healing journey for myself, but it is on Amazon. I don't get any residuals for it anymore, but it was with a publisher. You could find me on Instagram, Coach Jen Roulon. You could find me on TikTok. TikTok is more fun than anything. But I think the one thing, because it is the triathlon age group journey, is that have fun, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, amen. To your followers, have fun, because I tell my athletes this, is that, you know, if they're getting ready for an Ironman or their first Ironman, I'm like, y'all, it's that you'll never get that first one back.
Never.
It's like that first, never. It's like that first catching that green wave. It's that first kiss. It's that first, like, whatever that might be, right? It's the first. And like, I think so many age group triathletes are all about the watch and they're like, I got to do this, I got to do that. It's like, just enjoy the experience and have fun. And going back to your quote, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, at the beginning when we started, how I said, I don't like New Year's resolution quotes. I mean, everybody is always about changing themselves. What can I do to change myself? And I think you just made a great point. It's like, don't change yourself this year. Just be yourself. Have fun. You know, get out there, have fun and be you. Don't try to change you. Be you. Make that your goal this year, is to be yourself, have fun, live in the moment, but do it with, you know, like the quote said at the beginning, wishbone, backbone, and a funny bone. And yeah, just remind yourself of those things.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing how it came full circle, Matt, again.
It did.
It always does, doesn't it? It's funny how that works. So what do you guys say we close this shop down? What do you think? All right. Well, Jen, it's been absolutely great hearing about your journey, from the fitness industry to writing books to Kona to triathlons to just saying hasta la vista and heading out to Costa Rica and just living your best life. I mean, it's definitely admirable. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there that would probably be scared beyond belief to take that step. I think there are a lot of people out there that are, I use the word loosely, envious of that ability to take that step. But it's awesome. It looks like it's working out very well for you and you're happy. You're happy. You can see that and you can just tell that you're in a good, very content place, and happy for you for that. What a great journey.
Thank you.
As always, to our listeners, this podcast wouldn't be possible without you all. So please check us out on whatever platform you listen on. Give us a good rating. And if you have a journey, I mean, we're in a new year. 2024 is here. I know Jay, Jillian, and I have a lot of fun guests in line coming up for the year. We're coming up on a milestone with podcast episode 50. Can't believe we're almost to the 50 mark. And if you've got a journey you want to share with us, or if you know somebody with a fascinating journey, please reach out. You can get us at triathlonagegroupjourney@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram @triathlonagegroupjourney. We're going to keep showing up, living our best life, find those start lines, find those finish lines this year, and excited for the year ahead. So Jay, Jillian, Jen, it's been a lot of fun and hope everybody has a great week.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
See y'all.
Happy New Year.